I really need you to listen. I'm not going to be long. It's not a very long sermon, but it is a very important message. So if you're watching, listen. If you're here, don't look at your to-do list. Don't think about lunch. Don't think about sushi, chops, steak, or fish.
You're making us hungry.
Yeah, I'm making you hungry, my wife said. I want you to just focus on the word, and I want you to listen, because I've been waiting to share this with you from the time I was in Barbados. Remember that night I said that I prayed into the wee hours of the morning that anointing wouldn't lift off me? And God said, you know, they need to be encouraged. Send that video to them not to quit. There's not a time to back off. There's a time to press forward. And then Brother Jerry basically said the same thing. Do you remember all that, people?
Yes. Okay.
All right. That same night around, I don't know if it was before or after he told me that about the video. I can't remember exactly. But on that same night of prayer, you know, when I was in the presence of God and in that flow of prayer, what we call in the spirit, he said that to me. He only said two things to me that night in all those hours. One was that about the video and what to say. And the other was what I'm sharing with you this morning. And this is what he said to me in that prayer time. He said, now this is an unusual way of saying it. He doesn't normally talk this way to me, but he said this, what he's about to share, what I'm about to tell you, this is instruction for promise of life. If they do these three things, I will be able to do everything that is in my plan for them and for this church. Wow. Now, very rarely does God make a blanket umbrella kind of statement, because you understand that there's a lot of facets and a lot of aspects and a lot of ingredients for God to be able to do everything that he wants.
Right.
Do you understand? How can you really narrow that down to three? Well, you're going to have pretty broad categories if you're going to narrow it down to three, because there's many ingredients for in order for God to be able to do everything that he wants to do. But I really went and I said, really, Lord? And he said, open your Bible. And he read me three. Well, he quoted me three scriptures. And that's what I'm going to read you in a second. And he said, these three scriptures are from an umbrella perspective because they're broad spectrum in their scope. He said, if the congregation and the individual, let me read it again. This is instruction for promise of life. If they will do these three things, I will be able to do everything that is in my plan for them and for this church. Now, that's a sweeping statement, and I don't normally give sweeping statements, but that's what I heard him say. And so I believe that if we will focus on the principles, are you listening?
Yes.
Of these three verses and these three statements, and actually, what a shock, actually live it. What a shock that you could come to church, hear something, and actually live it. Because you come to church all the time, you hear a lot of things, and you're trying to live out all these things, and I know you're doing a good job by and large. But listen to me, this is a very, very important message, not because I'm important, but because what he is saying is critical. Now, they're going to sound, to some of you, like generalized, but it has to be that way in some ways, because he's saying, if you do these things, he didn't say 40 things, he said three things, I'll be able to do everything that I want to do. Because within every one of these things, there are dozens of subcategories that God can get over to you as you do them, which fills in all the other ingredients that are required. But these are umbrella categories. And I've never seen it. See, you can read the Bible 1,000 times and still not see something. You know what I'm saying? But when the Holy Ghost shows you, boy, it's like, why didn't I ever see that before? So turn with me to the book of Homebrews.
No.
Look at Hebrews. I miss Brother Randy, and so we have to talk a little bit like him from time to time. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, did you notice in the video, let me go down to the bottom, I read you a couple verses there.
Yes.
Verse 35, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In other words, don't quit believing. For you in need of patience, and confidence means outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, bold statements of faith. For you have need of patience. In other words, hey, things aren't always going to go right in your confession, but you got to be patient. Don't quit, in other words. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition,
right.
But of them that believe. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now he said, tell them in that video, verse 35, it's not time to stop believing. Outspoken, bold faith. And tell them, verse 38, if you draw back, if you pull back, I'm displeased. There's not time for that. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm on holiday. I don't want to be, I love God, but I don't want to be praying all night for you. It's my 1 week away from you. It's my 1 week I don't have to think about you. And I didn't pray for one of you the whole week. But it's the only week I do that. And even on that week, Brother Joey, God had me praying for the church as a whole. Because I don't really, I guess, ever take vacation, even on my vacation. I pray, I spend time with God all the time, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to ministry, sometimes you just need a break. Turn the phone off, no texts, no emails, no nothing. Just rest your mind, rest everything, rest your body, and just rest. And it's important that people have that. Ministers need that too. So, but even in that scenario, he had me praying, that anointing came on me, and he had me praying, and he said, tell them it's not time to quit believing, and it's not time to draw back. There's a season of pressure, but tell them to keep going. And then God used a great prophet without any knowledge of what I said a couple weeks later to confirm it.
Yes.
In that same night, he said, these three things, if they will do, will allow me to do everything that I have planned for them in this church. And it was in the same chapter. He didn't have to do it in the same chapter, but it ironically was. So go up, because this is what he said to me. Look at verse 22, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And I've entitled this message, Let Us. You see that little man on the screen? That's Brother Greg, right there. That's also Gloria. That's you, whoever you are, you're taking off on the jump with me. Now watch now, verse 22. Let us draw nearer. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And the Lord said, the first thing that you need to tell the people, and I know it sounds general, but you better pay attention. And if you're smart, you better pray this out at home. You want God to do everything that he has planned for us and for you? This is a critical key.
Amen.
Let us draw near. The first thing that you've got to develop and improve upon, all of us, no matter how close you are to God, all of us, it never ends. We never arrive ever in this capacity, is the intimacy, it's your life of fellowship. Let us do what? Draw near. You can have all the other things in life, but are you near to God? Now, by faith, by his blood, you're righteous. You're in a relationship with him. But I know lots of married couples that are in relationship, but don't have a whole heap of fellowship. You can have a relationship with God, but not fellowship with God. You can be born again on your way to heaven, but you don't really know him. You don't really know how he feels. You don't know the nuances of his personality. You don't know what he likes. You don't know what hurts him. You don't know what his mandate is. You can know God by relationship, but really not have fellowship with him. And when he says, let us draw near, what he's saying is, I'm looking for intimacy. Do you remember, I won't preach it again, but I preach it October 1st if you want to listen to it again, about Revelations chapter 3 in the Laodicean church. And they said, we're rich, we're great, we don't have any need. And Jesus said, you disgust me, first of all. And then he says, you are naked, you are poor, you are wretched, you are blind because you think you don't need me. In other words, in order to stay hot for God, to stay fervent, that it continues down talking about zealousness and fervency. In order to stay hot and fervent for God, you have to have need of him. You have to know that you need him. I'm telling you, there has to be a drawing near to God because you know you need him. What about the Ephesus church? The Laodicean is the last church mentioned. The Ephesians church is the first church mentioned. The church at Ephesus did a whole bunch of great things, and it lists them there. But then he says, there's one thing I have against you. You don't even hardly love me. You serve, you do all these great things, but where's the first love? Where's the intimacy? Where's the, when you first got saved, you spent time with me. You worshiped me at home. You loved me. There was a heart connection. Now you've turned into just a workhorse. You're doing all these great things, but where's the intimacy? Let us draw near. Are you listening? It didn't say let us work. It said let us draw near. I know this is simple, but when he said it to me, it was such revelation. And he said the first and most important thing, and I think this is interesting because even these three things are listed in chronological order. This is not just something you can decide, oh, I'll put this as number three. He even lists them as the main things in that order. In other words, do this first. Let us draw near. You have to know you need him. You have to not just work for him, you have to love him. If you don't, be honest with him. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had seasons of stress, seasons of drought, seasons of dryness, seasons where I don't feel God's presence very often, even as a minister. I'm just being transparent with you. And I'll say, Lord Jesus, I feel far from you, even though I'm not sinning. I love you. I'm working for you. But I don't feel that close to you. And I'm just being honest with you because there's no point lying. You already know that. I'm asking for your help. Show me where I need to tweak it. Show me what I need to do. Is this demonic? Is this me? What is this? And he's always faithful to reveal to me where that tweak needs to be made. Sometimes it's evil spirits that are making you feel that, even though it's not true. Dad Hagen talked about that a lot. Other times it's just maybe an error in your life you need to tweak. You need to spend more time. You need to do that differently. You need to forgive that person. You need to obey in that area. And then all of a sudden, but I don't just ignore the fact that I'm struggling with drawing near. I talk to him about the struggle. If you have a good marriage, you will talk to your spouse about why there is not that sense of whatever. Because listen, marriages are ultra complex. I wanted to do a marriage seminar for years, but I don't because I don't know what to say. It would take 17 days just to say the introduction. They are so complex. They are so complex. There are so many moving parts, spiritually, emotionally, physically, sexually. There's so many parts. And whenever Jenny and I, and we have a good marriage, but anytime Jenny and I just sense something is not quite the way I want it, the way I feel it should be. And it's not because she stopped beating me 7 years ago. So it's not that. I've worn short sleeves for a long time now. But I'll just sit with her and I'll say, we're having a meeting. She knows what that means. Yeah. We're having a meeting. Yeah. I never use that phrase unless there's a problem. That's why she hates meetings. But I say, we're having a meeting. And she'll come to me and say, we're having a meeting. Yeah. And then I start to sweat. But we'll sit and we'll sit opposite each other at that kitchen table and we will talk. And the rule is you can't leave. Wow. Yeah. Now, if she goes to the bathroom break, I time her. You better come back. But you can't leave. And we talk and talk and talk. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we laugh. We pray, but we talk. And we talk that out. And we don't let each other get up from that table until that problem is solved. Because my marriage is so critical to my ministry. It's critical to my children. It's critical to my joy. It's critical to the Lord. And I got to make sure that marriage stays healthy. And you can't if you don't talk. But I'll pray. You can pray, but you need to talk. Help us, Jesus. If you want the relationship with God, you've got to talk to him. Father, I'm feeling this. I feel bad to even say it to you, but this, help me, Holy Ghost. And you start to fellowship, worship, pray in tongues, get in the word. I promise you, he will take you from that wilderness into that sweet spot of presence. But letting us draw near is such a critical thing. And really, it really is the most critical thing if you want to look at it like that. Have a look at Hebrews 4:16 just briefly. I just want to give you another scripture to back this one up. Because notice what it says. Just look at Hebrews 4:16. But if you saw there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The word assurance in the Greek means full confidence. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. It's the same idea. Confident boldness before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Go back to number 10 and verse 22. How can you be bold, Deanne? How can you come, especially when you don't always feel worthy, you don't always feel all these emotions, how can you be bold to come to him? There's two conditions. Number one, in verse 22, it says a true heart. The word true means sincere. Are you sincere or are you a fake and a hypocrite? If you're sincere, even if you're not that close to the Lord, if you're sincere, you qualify. Just be sincere. I may not be perfect, but I'm sincere. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a liar. I'm not trying to make myself look better than I am. You know me anyway, Father. I come to you with sincerity of heart. Now watch, how can you be bold? Come, watch what it says there in verse 22. Let us draw near with true heart sincerity in full assurance, confidence. Why? Because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Now, this part of the heart, as I've been teaching on Wednesday, is not your spirit. Your spirit was already sprinkled at being born again and sealed. But your heart, your soul realm, the shallower waters, your heart, your conscience, that speaks of the soul. And it even says evil conscience. That means memories of failure, memories of sin, memories of things you've done wrong. The guilt associated with that. That's all an evil conscience. And he's saying you can come boldly to God because that blood didn't just seal your spirit and put you back in covenant with God. That blood has taken care of your soul, of your memories, of your guilt. That blood has eradicated condemnation. Yeah. That blood has made you bold.
Yes.
I'm not perfect, but I can say, Lord, because of that blood, I made mistakes. But that blood has covered my heart and my soul and removed my evil conscience. I have no condemnation. I have no guilt. I have a right to come boldly with a sincere heart to draw near to you. One of the reasons you don't is because you're always condemning yourself. The devil's reminding you of every failure you've done. Some of them earlier today. Some of them 28 years ago. I know because I counsel people and they talk to me about stuff they've done 40 years ago. And it's like, when are you going to get let this go? It is hindering your future. Yes, you made a mistake, but you're insulting the blood because every time you bring it up, what you're saying is the blood isn't powerful to remove it. The blood has removed it. He has cleansed your condemnation, your conscience that is evil, the guilt, the shame. He has cleansed it out of your soul realm, not just your spirit. And I have a right to draw bold. All I have to be is sincere. You know if you're sincere or not. I just come boldly, boldly, boldly unto the throne of grace. I draw near with full confidence and assurance because I'm sincere and I'm washed by that blood. And I'm not perfect, but I am now because of the blood. God don't see what I did because he just sees the blood. I may have some memory of it, but I choose not to think about that because of the blood. Intimacy with God is absolutely critical if you're going to fulfill what God has for you. And the devil knows that, which is why he is working overtime with condemnation. Now, this doctrine got in the ditch. What it got in the ditch was, you shouldn't be condemned. So you know what? You don't even need to repent. It's all done. The greasy, slimy, demonic grace doctrine.
Tell it, Pastor.
And it's on the television, and there's big name ministers preaching it. And I could say their names, but I won't. But if you want to know, come talk to me and I'll tell you privately. Because you shouldn't be listening to it. Dad Hagen warned about it. He said that greasy grace will destroy your life. Paul warned about it and said, God forbid that we would use the grace and the kindness of God as an excuse and a perverse license that we can do whatever we want. And some wrong, demonized and deceived preacher in Malaysia came up with this nonsense that 1 John 1:9 is not for you, when it obviously is, and every theologian for 2,000 years has said that it is. Brethren, that means born again people. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We shouldn't sin, but if you fail, if you miss it, confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. That is for you. And this condemnation ditch says, now you can't sin. No, you can sure sin. But, so don't get weird with it, but you don't need to be condemned. You just say, Father, I missed it, I'm sorry. And that blood, verse 22, cleanses you. Yes. Takes away the memory of it, takes away the guilt, the shame of it, and makes you right. Amen. So that you can draw near, so that you can enjoy his presence, so that you can actually know him more than just know about him. I'm preaching better than you are saying amen. I'm telling you the truth about it. Brother Jerry said Tuesday night, you should listen again to Tuesday night. He talked all about the presence. And he talked about how the presence of God is vital to breakthroughs. He talked about, he quoted this quote, my people are not in my presence enough. If they were, they would always know what to do. Drawing near is the presence. He quoted James 4:8, draw near to me and I will draw near unto you. Did you notice God didn't say I'll draw near unto you and then you draw near unto me? So here's the problem. What you're doing is you're waiting for God's presence to come. And then you're going to respond. Do you know why you do that? Because you come into church. And the presence is here. So you get used to, oh, the presence is here. Now I respond. So you go home and now you're waiting for the presence. And it's not there. Because this verse in James 4:8 says, it's not God's job first, it's your job. You draw near unto me, and I'll respond and draw near unto you. So the onus is on us, not on God. So when you're in your prayer closet, don't expect to feel anything because you're not going to. But when you start to draw near, you start to engage, you start to worship, you start to pray. That's when God responds and reciprocates and he starts drawing near. And then you feel the presence. I never feel the presence when I start, but I always feel the presence when I finish. And by the way, when you come to church and you think, oh, the presence is here, I can just enter in. Why do you think it's here? It ain't here because of you. If that's your mindset, it's here because other people showed up and they drew near. They lifted their hands. They engaged. And God is responding to them, not you. But you are capitalizing on the presence because it's in a room with everybody's present. I'm just trying to help you understand. The presence comes because people draw near. Other people come and don't draw near, but they still feel the presence because they're getting it on credit because of somebody else. So why don't you come to church and be part of the supply of drawing near instead of just the recipient of the presence? When Reverend Taylor tells me and says, Pastor, like you have no idea how hard it is for me. I sit there and I look at them and how many people just sitting there looking at me. They won't sing. They won't lift their hands. They won't do anything. And I'm saying, come on, guys. Come on, guys. What Jerry said, the extractor. Come on. Or who was it? Was it Joel? Joel, the extractor. Come on. He shouldn't have to say one time, come on. If he's saying, come on, because you're sitting there like a lump. You know, I'm your pastor. So you just better not be offended. My job is to correct you as well as love you. I tell Luke all the time how cute he is, but I also tell him, you better watch it. It's not all loosey-goosey, good feelings, mighty coddling on a Sunday morning. If you would just engage God, draw near, bring a supply for your brothers and sisters around you, then he will draw near, he will respond to us. But we need to do it, not just rely on other people to do it. Yes, God. Amen. I know some days are hard. I know some days you don't feel it. But I'm saying as a general rule, you need to push through those emotions. I could preach two sermons on this, but I'm not, I got to move on. The quickest way to get in the presence of God is praying in the Spirit and worship. Let us draw near. The second thing, I want to read you verse 23. And the Bible says, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What is the second general category that you've got to get down? You've got to get it down. You've got to get it down. Is the release and the exercise of faith.
Amen.
What pleases God? Faith. Hebrews 7:6 says the only thing that makes them happy is your faith.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The word wavering in Greek means to lean. Without leaning to the left, without leaning to the right, without threatening to lose our balance in faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. I want to read that to you. You don't have to turn there. Just let me read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. And it says, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you're doing counts. It matters. You showing up, you tithing, you're serving, it's not in vain. It's for a greater purpose. It's bigger than you. There are rewards coming to you in heaven and on earth. But you have to be firm, steadfast, unmovable. In other words, not leaning, not wavering, not back and forth, not emotional one day. And non-emotional the next day. What's going to happen? Oh, I believe in God by faith. By faith. That's wavering. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, if they will do these things, because there's other things within these three that he will get over to you later. As you're doing them, he'll show you more. But if the main thing is your fellowship and intimacy with him, let us draw near. The second thing is your release of faith. If you don't learn faith and how to exercise it, you're dead shot in the water. You won't get your needs met. You won't get healed. You won't be able to help me with the vision. Without faith, you can't even please him. So with faith, this is the key. It's about learning. And how, when you're intimate with God, number one, what happens? You're in his word. When you're in his word, what happens? Faith comes. Now he's simply saying, you already got faith because you've done number one. Now release it. Start to exercise it. Start to believe that that lump on your leg will go. Start to believe that that thing your child is facing will stop. Start to believe that that extra $3 an hour that you need in your job, that you'll have favor, it will come. Start to believe for 5 more clients at the end of the month. Start to believe for money for Pastor Nancy's gift. You got to exercise faith. Without it, you can't even make God happy. Oh, Lord, I don't know if it's landing right. I don't know. What does verse 35 say? Again, I got to go back, Hebrews chapter 10. What does verse 35 say? I already read it to you. I put it in the video. It says, cast not away your confidence, your bold outspokenness, your believing, your faith. So you see, he's repeating it in the chapter. He wants the reader to get it. This is not a time to stop. It's a time, not a time to give it up. It's not a time to pull back. It's not a time to cast away that faith. It's a time to believe and exercise it aggressively.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Let us hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. I was watching a movie a little while ago about back in the 1800s in this ship. You know, the old ships that they had back in the Napoleonic era. And there's what those sailors went through. And the hardship and the lack of food and lack of relationships with their wives and hard life, ropes and weather and 40-foot waves. And when they disobey, they get whipped at the whipping pole. I mean, it's just a hard life. And there's this one old man in there who's like the oldest guy around, and he's probably been a sailor for like 70 years or something. And the storm is coming. This huge storm is coming, and these massive swells, and the sailors are starting to get nervous, as understandably, because you can die. And he had tattooed on his knuckles, H-O-L-D-F-A-S-T. And he looked at this little young guy who's like 13 years old, the little deck boy. The youngest of the crew, he's the oldest of the crew. And he looked, and that little kid is so fearful of these waves. And he looks and he does this to him and he says, hold fast. Because if you don't, you're going to go over that side, buddy. You're not going to make this storm if you don't hold fast. And sometimes I feel like we need to tattoo. Now, don't actually do it. But I feel like we need to tattoo on our knuckles. Hold fast. He said, hold fast your profession of faith. Because there are storms and there are challenges and tests and trials. And you've got to be the seasoned, salty veteran that looks at the young pups that don't know what they're doing and says, and when I say young pups, I don't mean physically age-wise, but people around you, people in other churches, people that don't know this message, you've got to have some salt in your blood. Like an old grizzled sailor and say, hold fast. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare quit. That's what God said through Jerry in that prophetic word. Don't turn back. Don't quit. The best is about to happen. You're not going to get it if you don't hold fast your faith. Hallelujah. That, see, those little images, they help me. I know it's nonsense to you, but see, sometimes, and I don't watch things that are wrong, but sometimes if I'm watching something that's clean and there's an image, it's like, almost like a story. Jesus told parables, and sometimes there'll be a scene in there or an image like that, and I'll hear the Holy Ghost say, "That's you." And he said, "But Lord, why would you speak to me through a secular movie?" See, that's religious.
Yes.
I don't watch a lot of secular movies. I'm not encouraging you now to do the secular movie thing instead of reading your Bible so that God will speak to you. I got to clarify everything because people think that that means that now they don't have to read their Bible and watch secular movies. I'm saying God can speak to you through a number of mediums.
Yes.
He can speak to you through a sinner.
Oh, yes.
He can speak to you through nature.
Yes.
He can speak to you through a little scene. But don't try to make him speak to you. Just if he does, say, "Okay, Lord, but I heard the Holy Ghost say, that's you. Hold fast." See, there's a spirit of faith to that. That's what Caleb did with Joshua. "Give me the mountain. Give it to me. I'm not weak. I'm not on crutches. I don't have dementia. I'm 85 and I'm as strong as I was at 40. I've got power. I've got life in my blood. I've got, my hair might be white, but I'm going to decapitate some giants. Give me the," see, that's that attitude of hold fast. God will never fail me. I am not ever going to go under. See, that's that spirit of faith attitude. You got to have that, brother and sister. In this world, you got to have that. Hold fast. Your profession of faith. Google doesn't understand because I accidentally hit the button and it says, "I do not understand what you want." But my congregation does. You must be smarter than Google. Idiot. All right. Let us hold fast our profession of faith without leaning or wavering. Why? Why can you hold fast? He tells us in brackets. Why? Why can you be so bold? Because he is faithful. Jenny, I know I can hold fast because he's never failed me.
Yes.
He has been faithful every battle I've been in, whether on the platform in India.
Yeah.
He's been faithful in every battle, small, great, international, domestic. He's been faithful.
Amen.
That's why I can hold fast, because I know that he holds fast.
Yeah, amen.
Finally, lastly, oh Lord, and let us. You see why I called it "let us"? These are the only three statements that start with "let us." Let us draw near. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. And let us consider one another.
Yeah. Very good.
Watch this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not, it was not written in verses. It was written in a letter. Are you listening? Verse 25. 24 and 25 go seamlessly. Now notice what is at the end of verse 24. There is a colon.
Yeah, that's right.
A colon means what I've just said. Now there's a colon. It is what is coming is connected to what I've just said. It's not a full stop. It's a colon. So let me read it to you grammatically the way it's written. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How? That's the colon. How? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm telling you, I was in that room, I was praying, and I heard the Lord say, if they will do these three things, I will be able to do everything in my plan for them and for your church. But they must start with, let us draw near. If there's no intimacy, I can't help them. They must continue with, let us hold fast our faith. Because if there's no aggressive faith, I can't move. I answer to faith. It's the currency of heaven. And number three, let us consider. Listen to me. He was very strong on this. It is not just about your intimacy with him. It is not just about your faith release, which shows allows his power to come on the scene. It's about how you treat his body. It matters to God more than you could imagine. How you treat him matters to him. When I say him, what do I mean? He is the head and we are the body of Christ. So we are him and he is us. We are in him and Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are part of him. So it matters how you treat him, which is him. How can you be offended? We'll pick happy because nobody can get offended with him. But how could you be offended with happy when you realize he's Jesus?
Yes, amen.
An uglier version of Jesus, but still Jesus. I got, because you know, when I said that, I could see the pride swell up within him. I had to keep him humble. All of us are an uglier version of Jesus.
Yeah.
Meaning we're not perfect like he is.
Amen. That's true.
But I'm a part of him. I'm his body.
Yes, amen.
He is the head. You don't separate the head from the body. They are one.
Yeah.
Happy is the body of Jesus. That means he is Jesus from that perspective. We don't worship him, but he is a part of the master. I am a part of the master. I am a part of him, and he is a part of me. And this is how they're going to know that you're my disciples, because you love each other. How can I not love him if he's part of me? How can I not love somebody if they're a part of my Jesus? I don't care what color your skin is, how new you're saved. If you're born again, you're a part of my Jesus. I have got to treat you right. I've got to love you. And he's saying, it's not just about knowing me. It's not just about using your faith so that my power can help you. It's about loving my body, treating my body right. God cares about that immeasurably more than you have any idea. Let us consider one another. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
To provoke one another. That doesn't mean provoke like you're going to... Because some of you do provoke each other, but in the wrong way.
Yeah.
The word provoke means to incite.
Yeah.
I need to stir you up and incite you to love.
Yes,
and to good works. How am I going to do that? How am I going to honor you? How am I going to consider you? Are you with me still?
Yes.
Consider means to fully observe and to perceive, to know people. How am I going to know you? How am I going to show you, incite you to live right? To incite you to walk in love.
Yes.
If I'm mad at you, how am I inciting you to walk in love? How, if I'm never doing anything good for you, if I'm never serving you, how do I motivate you to do good works?
Yes.
How do I consider my brothers and sisters, colon, the next verse, by not forsaking the gathering together of yourselves like some wrong individuals are in the habit of doing. Their custom, their habit, their manner is unfaithfulness. You want God to do things for you? You better treat his church.
Amen.
You better treat Ministry of Helps. You better treat you coming and lifting your hands. That's part of treating the body right, is coming and bringing a supply and worship. Showing up on time. It's astonishing to me. You won't be late for your job. But to worship God and in the presence of God on Wednesday nights, people come in 30 minutes late. And don't tell me it's because you don't like the worship, because if you don't like the worship here, you don't like it anywhere. Because every minister that comes says this is the best worship they've ever seen, including Jerry. But what we do is we honor a natural man more than we honor God. Why? Because that man pays us. So what we're really doing is we're honoring money over God. No, I'm messing with you because you need it. When you show up late to church, what you are saying to the Holy Ghost is money is more important to me than you.
That's it, Pastor.
I'm just cutting through the... You will honor what pays you. But when you are now bringing finances, you don't honor. What you're saying is, the one who pays me is worthy of my honor and my time sensitivity. But you, I'm giving you. I'll show up when I want, and you better be grateful that I even came.
Tell it, Pastor.
Now, that is, see, now, you're not going to have everything that God has planned for your life if that's your attitude. And I'm not trying to make you, listen, some of you, you need to listen to me because you're wrong in this. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to help you change. Now, if you're late to everything, then it's not about what I've just said. But then your life's going to be, you're going to be shipwrecked. But if you're on time for the doctor, who, by the way, makes you wait. And I made an appointment. I made an appointment for 12:15. When I got there at 1:15, he decided to call me in. And I said to the secretary, what is the point of appointments? You know what she answered? It's not the doctor's fault. Everybody comes late. It pushes us back. I said, well, then why don't, when they come late, ax them? You showed up 15 minutes late, you're at the back of the line. And they said, oh, but that would be mean. And I said, and that's why you're always going to be late, because you're afraid to correct people. Oh, but then people won't come back. You just have to quit. There's no point arguing with people. You're on time for the doctor, even though he's not on time for you. You're on time for your job because you get paid. God's always on time for us. He is worthy of our honor. And honor is not just tithing. Honor is serving. Honor is being on time. Honor is lifting your hands. Honor is loving each brother. Honor is striking racism from your heart. Honor is sitting beside people that maybe you're not that close with, because you want to provoke them to love. You want to get to know them. You want to find, you don't just want to be in your little clique. I'm telling you, Pastor Jenny, he said it to me so strongly. You were snoring logs. You weren't snoring. You don't snore. But you were cutting logs. You were sleeping the sleep of the bliss, while I was laboring for the church. Hope you feel good. But I was laboring while you were sleeping. But I'm telling you, I heard God so clear. He said, let us draw near. Let us hold fast the profession of faith. Let us consider the body. If they'll do these three, I'll be able to do everything I have planned for them. He can't without intimacy, he can't without faith. And listen to me, he can't do everything without you treating his body right. You don't have to treat every member of the body. There's a billion of us. Yeah. You can't know all of them. But God put you in a tiny little chapter called Promise of Life in little old Mississauga, in little old Toronto, in tiny Ontario, in tiny Canada with 37 million people, which is a joke. There are more people in California than there is in Canada. In this tiny little corner of the world, God placed you, 1 Corinthians 12:18, in the body as it pleased him. And he said, now, this is your place. Amen. I'm sorry in advance, but here's your pastor. I'm sorry, but I had to put him somewhere. And so I have picked the strongest people. Amen. With the toughest skin, because nobody else can handle him. So, Promise of Life, extra kudos in heaven. Extra brownies, because you put up with him. I put you here. I planted you here. I want to do through you and this church everything in my plan. But you got to consider one another. You got to consider one another. How do you consider? Show up. Amen. By not forsaking the assembling. Show up. Every day the doors are open. Every time you can. Never an off day. If you can come, you come. Unless the snow is 7 feet deep, you come. Amen. You watch if you can't come, but you come. Because that is part of the let us. Let us think about each other. Let us love each other. Let us provoke each other to love, not hate. Yes. To good works, not bad works. Let us show up and be around each other. Watch now, exhorting. That's amazing. Look at what it says. Provoking, not forsaking assembling, as some of the manner, some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He's saying, as you see the rapture approaching, you need to be at church more, not less. Yes. Now, he said, exhorting one another. I won't read it for sake of time, but you can look it up later. 1 Corinthians 14:3, the simple gift of prophecy. That means inspired speaking by the Holy Ghost. That's not yay, and again I say yay, you will marry somebody with red hair. It's not foretelling, and it's not corrective. The simple gift of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. every believer is commanded to prophesy to one another on a regular basis, but not the yay, again, I say yay prophecy. It's in regular conversation where you are talking to Reverend Sandy, yeah, and out of your spirit comes something, yeah, to encourage her. Not weird, not confrontational, not corrective, not foretelling, but just edification to edify her, exhortation to exhort her, comfort to comfort her. Sister, I just want you to know, it's just coming up in my heart. And you just encourage.
Yes.
Every believer is supposed to do that.
Yes.
Now we see that in 1 Corinthians 14:3. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, 20, what is it, 25, Jenny? He tells us very clearly that as we come to church, there is exhorting one another.
Yeah.
How do you consider each other? Talk to each other.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say something that's going to mess with your wig. If I dismiss the service and you are the first bullet out of here, you are not obeying the Bible. Because the Bible says to exhort one another and to know each other and to love each other and to consider each other. How do you do that if you never talk to anybody? If you have a job, I understand. But if you have a job, come early and talk to people before the service starts. And if you don't have a job, don't be antisocial and just disappear because your flesh is uncomfortable. You are a baby spiritually. A mature believer spends time fellowshipping. A mature, it's a spiritual thing. It's not just, well, I don't want to drink coffee. Well, then don't. But be around people. How you doing, sis? Well, that's a nice jacket. And try to find something good. Not, my God, Pastor Happy, what are you thinking with that tie? That does not exhort and encourage and edify. Whether you like the tie or not, I personally do, but maybe you don't. That looks really sharp, Pastor. You look really great. By the way, have you lost weight? My God, you look good. Guggen, better watch out. We don't have more kids now. Now I just walk away, and what have I? I've let him know that he looks handsome,
yes,
that he's desirable, that no more children are coming, but that his wife probably wants more children to come because she is so attracted to him, and I've made him feel special, and I've made her feel special, and I've made them laugh, and they walk away feeling, well,
yeah.
what can I say? Praise God. And then Happy goes like a ripple in a pond, and he goes up and he sees Mary Chris and he says, sister, those are beautiful shoes. If you ever want to get on a woman's good side, hair and shoes. That's it. Gorgeous. Absolutely. I love the way they cross. It's just lovely. By the way, have you done something new with your hair? I'm joking, but I'm also serious. Because what carnal people do, they don't come up. They don't even show up half the time. They leave before they even have a chance to exhort anybody. Then they sit at the table and talk to their spouse and go, can you believe what she was wearing? OMG, it makes her look like an elephant. Oh my gosh, I would never come to. You see, the Holy Ghost hears that.
Oh yeah, he does.
And you know, why does Pastor do this all the time? Why does he yell? And why does he, yeah. And the Holy Ghost hears that. And you think you got away with it, but he heard it. He said, son, he's talking to me. If you draw close to me, if you release your faith, buddy, and if you love my people,
yes,
and let's spend time with them, yes, and love them, I'll do everything in my plan for you.
Amen.
And he's saying it to you.
Yes.
I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
I really am trying to help you. Now, I'm going to close the service by telling you that when this is long before Barbados, but the Lord started dealing with me and saying, you need to not every service go to the green room when you're done. And I said, but Dr. Dufresne told me to do that. And he said, but I'm telling you not to do that.
Yeah.
But Dr. Dufresne, you know. Now, Dr. Dufresne did that because under certain anointings, he said to me, and he said to the other ministers, he said, under certain, not every anointing, under certain anointings,
yes, sir,
when you're ministering, your spirit is very open under certain types of anointings. If you then engage with people and those people have problems or demons or issues or whatever, you don't want certain things influencing, and I don't mean coming in, but for lack of a better word, So he said, and he operated under that anointing almost every service. So he said God dealt with him because of that flow that he gets in. And it's not healthy for him to be around people until he kind of goes quiet and he can kind of decompress and his spirit closes more. Then he comes out in fellowships. But when he said that to me, I just took that hook, line, and sinker, but I didn't use skill with it. Because the Holy Ghost said, you want to be skillful? I said, yeah. He said, under certain anointings, that is true, but not every anointing. And under the pastoral anointing, that is rarely true. So he said, you are not to always dismiss because you don't have the need to always dismiss yourself under many anointings in the pastoral office. So he said, I want you to hang around more and talk to the people because that's what Hebrews 10 talks about. That's about exhorting and encouraging them. And I said, Lord, I would happily do that. And so I've started to do that more. But can I be honest with you? You know the reason why I don't like doing that, which I am trying to obey God, is because everybody with their problems come up for a counseling appointment. And it tires me out. And I'm already tired from preaching. And I don't want to sit there and listen to all your problems. Your problems are important, but you've got Jesus. You've got ministers at the front to pray the prayer of agreement, and you've got a counseling session with me if you call and make an appointment. All I want is, hi, Pastor.
Yes.
Hi, how you doing? Give me a hug. God bless you. See ya.
Yes.
That's what I want. Not. And then now it's this drawn out, tiring, exhausting experience for me. I'm trying to help the congregation understand what is appropriate and think about somebody else other than yourself. Because I know that you've got issues, but you got to respect what I'm going through as well as what you're going through. And there will be time to go through all your problems if you need that in the right environment at the right time. But when I stay after a service, it is not for the same people to always come up and dominate my time so that the other people that never say hi to me can't get within 20 feet because the same 7 people want to come and spend their time with Pastor. That is selfish behavior. I'm rolling today. Think about somebody else and not just you. Because everybody wants to come around. Everybody wants to say a quick hi. And you can't dominate and control because you've got a problem. Because, by the way, other people got problems and they don't dominate and control. You got to know the time and the place for things. It's called social graces. Social graces says this is a time to say hi. This is not the time to bawl and cry, squall, and have a counseling appointment. There will be a time for that. It is not right now. So I am trying to exhort the believers more by not disappearing. But the reason I do that, first of all, I didn't understand the skill of the anointing. Second of all, I'm exhausted by the time it's done because I've had 17 counseling appointments. And it's just like, Lord, I don't care if they get offended. I just can't go through this.
Yeah.
If you can just keep a quick, simple hello. This is church business. This is family business. Do you understand? Church is very practical. It's very spiritual, but it's very practical. When I close the service, get used to fellowshipping as much as you can and not just bolting for the door. Because you're not considering one another.
Amen.
When you're around that office, you'll get answers. I have to consider the body above me. How many answers through Jerry? How many answers through Greer? How many answers through Pastor Nancy? Because I consider them. Because I spend time with them. You can get encouragements by being with your brothers and sisters. You can get answers by being around your pastor. You know, a little while ago, I really will end with this. So stop giving me the cut eye. I walked by the other day, a little while ago. The man was here. He does come to our church. He's started to come to our church now. He had excruciating back pain. And he was in that chair. I didn't know that. And I just walked up the aisle. And as I was passing him, I just said, hey, brother, God bless you. And I just did that and I walked on. I'm not thinking anything. He told me later, he said, when you tapped me, the lightning of God went through my body, instantaneously healed his back.
Long-standing problem.
A long-standing problem. And he said, oh, my. He told me, I'm healed. He told me that afterward. I'm not thinking healing. I'm not releasing my faith. Hey, brother, how you doing? But God can use the simplest, nonsensical, that I don't even know what is going on, and just cause power to be administered. And if he can do that through me, he can do that through you. You have no idea how the encouragements, the exhortations, the comfort, the edification coming out of your spirit to encourage somebody, give a word in season, give something. I don't mean prophecy weird. I mean loving, encouraging, making them, hey, what you're going through this week, I've had a sense, a burden for you. What's going on? Well, I'm doing this. Well, you know what? I'm going to pray with you. See, you can do what I do. Well, let's pray together. I got faith. I release my faith for you. That business is going to turn around, and you grab hands. You don't lay hands on them. You grab their hands. Father, I release my faith. You don't get into yay, and again I say yay. The Lord says that your business will join with Trump, and you will be a multi-billionaire. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't get into foretelling because you can miss it. You don't get into correction. Yay, again I say yay. I see that secret sin. No, your job is not to foretell or to correct. Your job is to edify, exhort, and comfort. Brother, you're going through something? I've got my faith with you. We're going to do this together. Let me know how it goes this week.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, everybody comes to me to do that because nobody else is doing that. But if everybody was bringing their supply, nobody would even want to talk to me. Amen. Hey, Pastor, see you later. Love you. See you later. You sure you don't have a need? No, no. John Christie prayed with me. Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Good. Bye.
Yeah.
What? Bye? Oh, yeah. Lorna McIntyre prayed for me. She cast the devil out of my wife. Everything's fine. Hey, brother, how you doing? How's that business? I know you're about to lose your house. Oh, everything's fine. See you later. What are you talking about? Oh, Philippa prayed. We got the house. Everything's fine. Everything's good. But you see, if nobody's talking to each other, because everybody wants to go to Tim Hortons, we're not helping each other. And then there's an over demand on me. And I can't handle it, my brother and sister. I just can't handle it. I'm here for the ones that need it. But you are an answer to other people. Lord Jesus, I'm going to quit. But Lord, you told me, let us draw near. Let us hold fast that profession of it. Let us consider the body by being faithful to attend and exhort. Lord, these are three let us statements. If we will focus on our relationship and our faith and the body, you'll be able to get everything done in your plan for our future. Now, there's many subcategories within each of these main categories. But you said, your first Sunday back, when you are able, which is today, preach the three let us statements. I want to help your church. But your congregation have to think right if I'm going to be able to get everything done right. So Heavenly Father, we commit to what we've heard to be a doer, not a hearer only. We commit to increased intimacy, not tomorrow morning, starting today. We commit to increased releasing our faith. Because of the word that came in the intimate times, we're going to release our faith and hold fast even in the storm. And Lord, we're going to commit to considering, loving, exhorting, and being faithful in attendance, not forsaking coming to church, but coming more than ever because we see the day approaching. We're going to love each other. We're going to help each other. We're going to all bring our supply to each other. We're going to think about other people, not just ourselves. And Lord, this church is going to be the New Testament model of a local church. That's our goal. I thank you for it, Father. I've said it bold and strong, but that's my way. That's my flow. That's the way you use me. I thank you that they're able to swallow it and take it and know my heart toward them is pure and right. And I give you glory for it. I thank you that we will be doing the three let us's going forward. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, I pray. And everybody said, amen.